You're listening to The Collected Podcast, bringing you stories that remind us who God is and who we are in Him. The Collected Podcast is a production of Collected Ministries. Follow Collected on social media at Collected Podcast. And be sure to visit thecollectedpodcast.com for show notes and additional content related to today's episode.
The Collected Podcast is sponsored in part by Beauty Counter. Use the link in our show notes to shop for all of your clean beauty needs, and 10% of the profits will go directly back to benefiting the podcast. Also, use the code CLEANFORALL20 for 20% off of your first purchase. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 9 of The Collected Podcast. I'm your host, Jess Biondo, and this week I'm really, really excited to bring you a conversation with my new friend. We just met, but I've heard about her for a very long time now. She lives in Jacksonville near my parents and is really connected with them. So Audrey Sowers, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you. And when I say I've heard about you probably for years, that's not an exaggeration. Like, I really feel like I know you, so I'm excited to actually finally meet you and hear more about your story.
Thank you.
So to get started, I was wondering if you could share just how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah, so I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are both very strong believers. Went to a Christian school, and I had I had a lot of people in my life who really poured into me from all like different ages, some youth leaders, some teachers. I feel like from a young age though, I really like sensed God like moving in my life. And I kind of grew up in sort of like a bubble, like Christian school, Christian parents, like, and just kind of was the good girl. And I remember on my first mission trip, my youth pastor told me that he wanted me to share my testimony. And I literally cried because I think I was 16. And I was like, I don't have a testimony. Like, I don't have one of those stories that's like, you know, I was like this and then I met Jesus and then I was like this. Like, it just kind of like from a young age, you know, I believed that God was who he was. And of course I like learned to experience him and like, you know, I did experience him in different ways as I grew up, but he was always like very real to me. And so I remember like when I was 7 in the car with my mom, like talking about like the salvation prayer, like accepting Jesus and kind of doing that just organically in the car with her one day. But then I feel like, again, I had like a ton of people in my life who really invested in me. And I had like one of my teachers in high school, we started a Bible study when I was in my senior year. And it started with just me and her, but then other people joined. And it was just like that time. I really feel like my high school years, I was put in a place to really like dive into the Word and get experiences that really helped me understand like who God is. And then, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't have one of those like light to dark or dark to light moments, but it was just, you know, I've just like tasted him and seen him work in different ways in my life. And just been like overwhelmingly real, like this presence that's guided me and loved me and supported me. And so that's kind of my Jesus story in short.
I love that. And, you know, I think I had a similar story where I was just raised in the church. There was never a time where I didn't know Jesus. So I sometimes felt like I didn't have a quote unquote testimony.
Right.
But you're right. That is the testimony. Like God's protection and provision is so sweet throughout your whole life. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. As you like grew with the Lord, was there ever like an experience where he really became real to you in a new way?
Yeah. So my first trip to Uganda, I was 17. I think I was 17. It was the summer before my senior year of high school. And I went with this couple who was kind of starting an organization. So it was a very like interesting mission trip. It was kind of like on the fly. There was only 5 of us. And I remember like our first like church service. So they had met some pastors that we were visiting, and we were, you know, in like a service where they were singing and praying. And I just remember like coming from such a like little bubble, it like shattered my bubble of like God. While people might like experience him and relate to him differently, like God is huge. Like he's the same across our whole world. And so I just remember like that moment of kind of being like, dang, like this is real. He's real. Like these people know him. His presence is here. And so that was definitely like a defining moment for me in that like, you know, dirt floor church in Uganda when I was 17. So that's kind of like that moment where I, you know, it's just like, wow, like he's really here.
Yeah. And then you lived in Uganda for a few years later on, didn't you?
Yeah. So that trip when I was 17, like I came back saying I'm going to move there one day. And I had this like huge reputation in my high school of like, okay, Audrey's obsessed with Africa. Like we get it. And like my senior superlative was like most likely to move to Africa. And so from that trip, I kind of like all my big decisions were made with the intent of moving over there. So I graduated high school. I did 2 years at UNF and then I decided I wanted to move. So I worked for like 8 or 9 months, like prepping. And then I moved and I was, I just turned 21. And the couple that I worked with, like they are the ones that started the organization. And they had moved like 6 months or 7 months prior to that. And so it just felt like kind of the right time to go. I lived with them and kind of supported them like as the organization grew in Uganda. And it was a very trying couple of years, just with one moving to like a totally foreign country as a 21-year-old. I, you know, I was a little naive, but I feel like the Lord like really used my surrender in that because the things that the organization was going through, so I went on that first trip and then I actually went like 2 or 3 other times before I moved. So I had been there quite a bit. I knew like a lot of the people that we were working with. And then the family that moved over there, I'd actually lived with them in Jacksonville for 2 years. So we had like a very strong relationship. And I feel like that's kind of what they needed. They needed someone to support them and their family in that time. They had children. And the organization, like the pastors that we had partnered with, totally tried to destroy our reputation. And it was like, it was horrible. Like we would walk into town and people would be like spreading rumors around us. Like we got called into these like town meetings where they would just blaspheme everything that we were about and who we were. There was one day, like I had their 4 children at home and they were like taken by the police to the police station and like interrogated for like 4 hours. And I had no idea like when they were going to come back, what was going to happen. So God was like really doing a lot in that time. Like it was very hard, but from it, you know, that verse, you only have to be silent and the Lord will fight for you. Some verse of that, I think I'm messing it up, but that was like our verse. Like we couldn't say or do anything to like fight and like prove who we were, but the Lord totally fought for ACOA and for the workmen's, and it ended like probably a year and a half of just turmoil, but then it created all these amazing relationships with like the local government and the people there where they were actually able to have like a lot more reach. And so, you know, it's like being on the other side of it, we could totally see like how the Lord used it. But I just remember a lot of dark days of feeling very like confused and, you know, it was like total spiritual warfare. And so, yeah, so those were my 2 years there and very formative. I was, you know, I dealt with like loneliness and, but I also felt like I had so much intimate time with the Lord that really was very formative for, you know, who I am and my relationship with him. So,
yeah. Well, as you were talking, I was thinking, I feel like there's people out there listening who have, you know, maybe never moved to Africa, but they've had a similar experience where the thing they were like planning for so long and dreaming about, you know, for you, it was moving to Uganda. And then when you get there and when you like get the thing, it doesn't end up being what you expected. And maybe it's a lot harder than you expected. And so do you have any words of encouragement for someone who's in that, like the thing that they knew they were meant to do and they knew they were supposed to do it, but now they're doing it and it feels like it's like crushing them. What can you say to that person?
Yeah, definitely can identify with that. I would say like, especially like I mentioned my senior year, everyone kind of said like, oh, she's the girl that wants to move to Africa. Like it had become my identity. I was obsessed. And I unhealthily put a lot of my identity in what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go and being that missionary girl, right? And so it was like, I think one, cautioning that, like, okay, you have a desire, maybe it's to be a mom or to be married or for a specific career, and just, you know, being mindful that what we do is not who we are. And so being like your identity being rooted in the right thing and who you are in Christ. And so I remember like when I moved back being kind of stripped of that, and that being the big lesson of like, you are more than what you do in Africa, or you didn't fail just because you moved back. Like, I dealt with a lot of that. So that's one. And then, you know, for it not being what you anticipate, I feel like that's like when we have our identity rooted in the wrong thing, that's when, you know, we have these expectations that aren't met. And so it leads to disappointment and confusion and maybe bitterness or anger towards God, or, you know, and so I feel like that's kind of the main thing, is knowing like maybe why do you want what you want and staying grounded in it. And it could be like a good thing. Wanting to be a mom is a good thing, but I feel like a lot of times women become a mom and then they, you know, they get lost in it and it's hard and it's not what they expected. And so it can be confusing. So I would just like caution people to like check themselves and what their motives are, and really staying grounded in who they are in Christ. And then knowing too, like on the other side of it, I feel like it 100% wasn't what I expected. Like, but I was sold out. Like, I literally sold everything, and, you know, I wanted to be there forever. And so when that didn't happen, I was like, man, like, what did I do? But I feel like I needed to kind of be in that like sold out space in order to make it through the time that I was there, because it was so hard. But like that deep, like valley moments, like the Lord really worked in them. And so I think like knowing God can use the worst of our worst moments for his glory and in you. Like, it's not even about maybe how it affects other people, but like what God wants to do in you. But then I've experienced like through every hard thing I've been through, God has used it to reach other people and to encourage others. And so I don't know. I mean, it's hard when you're in it, but knowing that you're the Lord's and that he has brought you there, and just staying connected. And
that's amazing. No, that's all so good. And I you could have went a lot of different directions with that question. And so I love that you just brought it back to the Lord. And, you know, you said you thought you were going to be in Africa forever, and then it was 2 years. Mm-hmm. Which was different than what you expected. So what happened when you got home? You shared a little bit about, you know, having to recenter your identity, and, you know, mm-hmm. you're not the missionary in Africa anymore. So what did you do next?
So I came back because my grandfather got sick, and I was kind of in a place where I could come back and help take care of him, where no one else really in my family was able to. So that was kind of, it was a really sweet time of being able to kind of get to know my grandparents in a way that I never had, because I never lived in the same city as them. So they were actually in Jacksonville, and every day I was taking him to get proton therapy. And so that, and then like, so I came back because of that. And then in those like 3 months that I was taking care of him, I just really knew like it was time to kind of move on, like, because I was planning on going back. But in conversations with like some of the board members for the organization and the people that I was working with, it was just like, you know, I think it is time to move on. And the timing of it too is like, and that's why I say like I feel like I was there to kind of support them, because they, like, the organization was in like a more settled place where they could grow. And I just kept feeling like, okay, you're not going to meet your potential here. It's time to move on. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to let go. So I moved back, and I really had no plan. I moved back in with my parents, and I started applying for jobs just anywhere, like Starbucks, Home Depot. Then I went to this restaurant that was a couple miles away, and I knew someone that worked there, and I was like, oh, are you hiring? And they're like, yeah. So I got an interview the next day, and then I got hired the next day. So I think it was like 4 days when I moved back. I already had a job, and I was like, all right, this is great. So I worked at Four Rivers. And I think for me, it was like I needed just to do something where you clock in, clock out, and kind of have a season of figuring out what's next. But I'm not the type to just sit around. Like, I wanted to be productive. I wanted to make, you know, make money and figure out what I was doing next. So I like I said before, I did 2 years at UNF, so I had my AA, but I decided I want to go back to school. So I applied to go back to UNF, and I was about to, like, I got accepted. I was about to start registering for my classes. So this is like the summer. I moved back in February. So then that summer, I was getting ready to apply for the fall. And I got a Facebook message from this girl that I'd known kind of in the similar circles. Like, we went to the same church. She's a little bit older than me, but she knew who I was. And she was actually looking for someone to run a local after-school program. And that was with the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. And I knew about them. And they, like, actually supported ACOA. So I, you know, I had some reference of who they were, but I didn't know what they did locally in Jacksonville. And at first I was like, I'm not going to work for them. Like, that's weird and so random. I don't know anything about, like, after school programming. But I met up with her and kind of learned more about the position. And I was like, dang, this actually sounds like amazing. So I postponed going back to school, actually, and started working. It was called the MARC, Mackenzie's Academic Resource Center. And it was in a mobile home community, which was actually, like, right around the corner from where I grew up. And I, you know, it was an after school program. So there's, like, probably 600 kids that lived in that community. And it was like this organically grown place where these teachers, like, saw this need in this community. And so they'd come after school to the community center and just volunteer. And it was mainly academic focused, but, like, everyone I worked with was also a Christian. And so, you know, we kind of had that, like, holistic view of just wanting to help the community. And that was from parents to the kids to the littles. And so that was amazing. I worked there for about 5 years, and I ended up going to school online, like, after, and, like, on the weekends and stuff, finished my degree while I was working there. And so, you know, it again was one of those things where I didn't really, because I didn't, like, when I was little, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to move to Africa. Like, that was something that someone kind of presented to me, and I gained some experience. And so it was the same with after school programming. You know, like, they reached out to me, and I just felt like, yeah, this is right. Like, I think this is what the Lord's calling me to do next. And so, you know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into my experience working there, but it was amazing. Like, I loved it. I still keep up with a lot of the youth that I worked with. And then, yeah, so I don't know if you want me to talk about my girls now, but that's...
Yeah, let's get into your girls.
How I became a mom. So the three girls that I have were actually part of the program. So, you know, it was, the community where I worked was pretty challenging. There's a lot of immigrants, a lot of, you know, it's a mobile home community. So there's a lot of things that happen. And so these three girls in particular, I had gotten really close with, because I was 24 when I started working there. And so I was young. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't, like, in any kind of relationships. I just kind of ran around, did whatever I wanted. And so I ended up spending a lot of time with the kids from that community. And these three in particular, we had this, like, Saturday program, that was mainly through a couple local churches that partnered together, and they would come and do, like, you know, sidewalk, Sunday school type Bible lesson and play games and feed the kids. And so because I was already there, you know, Monday through Friday, I went a lot of Saturdays because I wanted to continue to, you know, build relationships with the youth there and, you know, get to know other ones and invite them and stuff. And so these three girls would come every Saturday, mainly for the free food. But there's this one Saturday in March of 2020 that the middle one came to me and, you know, disclosed some things that happened the night before in their home. And so I felt, you know, I needed to report it because it was pretty serious. So I ended up calling the police, and which led, I'm not going to get into all the details because it's just a lot, but it led to the DCF investigator, like, looking at me and saying, are you going to take the girls? And I was like, sorry, what? Like, I'm 28. I live in a 2-2 in Atlantic Beach with my roommate. Like, I don't have a place for them. But that was actually the next day that, like, I had them all that Saturday, and then I took them home, and then I picked them up for church, which was something we did on occasion. They'd come to church with me on Sunday mornings. And so I was actually at church with them when GCF called me and said, hey, bring them back to the house. Like, I need to talk to them. So they were all in my car, like, in my car. Mom, like, wouldn't really let the investigator or anyone in the house because she'd been, you know, involved with the system before. And so I didn't know how to say no. Like, they're literally in my car. They know me. Like, we've, you know, we've hung out on occasion outside, but they're also a part of my program for, like, at least 3 years. And so I was like, yeah, like, not knowing, you know, what it was going to lead to, I was like, oh, I'll take them. And it was really strange because the investigator, like, I was like, are you going to come to my house? Like, don't you need to, like, look? And because I had, like, background screenings for work. So that was easy for them to pull up. Like, I was cleared in that way. So I literally had to, like, ask her, like, are you going to come to my house? She was like, oh, yeah. And so she drove to my townhouse with me and, like, literally didn't even go upstairs. Just looked in and was like, okay, you're good. I'm like, this is so weird. How is this legal for them to, like, hand me these children? And so anyway, I took him home. But the crazy thing is, I was dog sitting. So I had, like, a whole house to myself that week. And it was actually the weekend leading into spring break so that they didn't have school that week. And then that was also the week that COVID happened and none of the kids went back to school. So I took these girls not knowing that I was going to be, like, homeschooling them for the next couple months. And, you know, it was just a crazy world. But I also feel like that was the Lord's timing, because if they would have been home all that time, like, I don't know what would have happened to them. Like, their home life was just, you know, tumultuous and it was not good. So my friend comes to me at work the middle of that week and is like, hey, we want you to move in with us. And come to find out later, like, the Lord had told her, like, you can't just ask Audrey if she wants to move in. Like, you need to tell her, like, this is what you're going to do. And that's totally, totally me. Cause I'm not, I don't know. I like to be independent. I don't like to, you know, ask for help. Like, if someone says, like, hey, I'm going to help you. Okay, fine. Like, more than welcome to. And I think that came from years of, like, being supported as a missionary. Like, I never wanted to be, I think I learned too, like, help comes from people you wouldn't expect. So, like, in all my fundraising over the years and just kind of relying on others, I tried not to have expectations of people. But I also knew the Lord always provided. Like, in any situation that I had a need, God showed up. And so he did in this situation with the girls. Like, it was, I didn't want for anything. The girls didn't want for anything. And before I got them, I had no money. Like, I was working part-time for a nonprofit. Like, you know, and I was just a single girl running around Jack's Beach, like, having fun. And so I don't know. I didn't have anything. So, but I didn't really think about it. I was like, I don't even have a place for y'all to live. God provided that. We lived with that couple for 5 months. And then I ended up renting a house, like, one street over, which was another connection of someone knew someone. And they gave us a really amazing discount on rent. And then we lived there for a year. And I ended up buying a house, and I was like, how can I afford a house? I don't know, but God provided. So in the time that we lived with my friends, it was COVID, so, like, everything was virtual, but I found that they were doing some virtual foster parent training. So I ended up getting licensed as a foster parent, and then the day we moved into that rental house, I, like, got what they call their red folders, which is, like, their, you know, official folders in the system. It was like, we're, like, in the middle of moving. And she's like, I need to do your fingerprints. I'm like, what? So, but, like, you know, again, like, God just kind of lined up everything. Cause that was really how I got a lot of support through the state, was being licensed. So they were able to help, like, support me financially more. The first 5 months, honestly, it was the church. Like, I got no help from the state. Someone started a meal train and it was filled up within, like, 2 days for the first month. And it was only by people at the girls' school, like, the elementary school. They were one of my biggest, like, communities of support. They were amazing. The church, like, so many people just, like, this one guy, I didn't even really know him that well, but he was in, like, my Bible study group. He came to me, he was like, here, I was telling your story to some guy, and here's a check for $700, but he wants to remain anonymous. I'm like, but that was, like, kind of the norm. Like, it was insane. And so humbling, you know, and it was not easy. Like, the girls were not easy. It's still hard. They've just been through a lot. And they were, you know, they kind of took care of themselves. So, like, to have an adult, like creating all this boundaries and structure and discipline. It was very challenging. We've been through so much. I have so many stories, but like it was those moments where like God would just be overwhelmingly like, I'm here. This is what you're doing. Here's what you need to get there. And so it's been a very like faith building journey. So then I don't know if you want me to stop, but I'll get to the adoption part.
Yeah. Keep going. I love this.
So I had them. March of 2020, then I got licensed in that August. And so then I fostered them for about a year. So August of 21 is when we had our adoption. And I remember it was probably like almost a year before, I think it was like October of 2020. And I was like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Like I just felt very called to keep them. They didn't have the normal like foster experience of bouncing around from home to home or being separated, because the, you know, siblings staying together in foster care is like very difficult. I had a lot of like input. I reached out to some godly people in my life and was like, hey, like this is really what I'm considering. What do y'all think about it? And of course some people were like, you're crazy. Don't you want to get married? Don't, you know, like, are you sure you want to like sacrifice all this? But then I have a lot of people who were like, of course, like, you know, God's provided for you. This is definitely what you're supposed to do. And so, everything was finalized. Like I closed on my house of July of 21. And then like 3 weeks later, we had our adoption date. So it was just like, I don't know, it's a crazy time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it's 2024 now, and I don't know. They're doing really well. The girls are amazing. They're almost 15, 13, and 11 now. And, you know, we're in probably the most, like, peaceful season of our life, but they're awesome, and they made me a mom, and it's been a very crazy journey, but I'm super thankful for them and for God, like, to just place them in my life.
Yeah. Well, and he also placed a man in your life who wants all of you.
Yeah.
And all the girls.
It was just me and the girls. We talk about it a lot. Like, you know, they would be like, are you going to date or this or that? And because it was like COVID, I really didn't leave them very much. Like it was me and them all the time. But I reached a point where I was like, okay, I want to like, you know, pursue dating, put myself out there. Like, y'all need a father. I want a partner. And so I like sat them down one day and was like, all right, just so you know, I'm going to start dating. I'm going to try to be out every Friday night. So like, get used to it. Yeah. But they don't have, it was, you know, and that's one thing too. Like, I actually was like very against like single women adopting or like fostering before, because I didn't feel like it was, you know, a healthy, like, I think like a man and a woman are supposed to raise children. But knowing the girls' like life experiences and their past with men, like, I feel like me taking them and kind of bringing them to like a stable place and like slowly introducing them to like healthy men was like perfect. So I sat them down. I was like, I'm going to date. And so, of course, you know, I just went online because I wasn't like going to go out. Where am I going to meet someone? And so I got on the dating app and I went out with this guy and I was like, he's pretty cool. And he was the first one. I like Antonio, my husband, was the first person I went on a date.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That never happens. That is a miracle from the Lord.
Well, okay. But I mean, yeah, I had like used dating apps like in the past, but not sure. I just felt like I was so intentional, like, you know, like, Lord, I'm ready. I feel like we're ready. Like, and so, yeah, it was amazing. And he was in like a very good place too. Like he had been through some stuff and was finally settled. And so when we met, it was like, wow, this is right. So we met April of 2020. And we dated for 9 months and then he proposed. And then 9 months later, we got married. We got married
wow.
in last September. This past September.
Congratulations. And now your family is continuing to grow.
Yes. Yeah. So because I'm 32, he's 33, we already have three kids. I was like, I want to have like a biological baby. And so, you know, we didn't really wait a whole long time because of our life circumstances. It was like, I don't want to be much older. And yeah, so, and honestly, like, fertility journeys is something I've heard so much about. And so, you know, you just never know. And so I was a little nervous, like, it might take a while. So let's just start trying. It didn't take a while.
It did.
So, so I'm due in July, the end of July. So,
congratulations.
Thanks.
Wow. So your life, I mean, God has taken you in directions I'm sure you never expected. No. What have you learned about his character along the way?
That there's a verse that sticks with me a lot, and it's I always get the numbers wrong, but it's in Isaiah about like God's ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. And honestly, I just feel like that's kind of my life story because I, like you said, I would have never planned any of this or like, you know, it's funny. Like I think when I was a teenager, like, oh, you don't have a testimony. And it's like, oh, well, it was coming just, yes. You know, like, but I feel like one kind of God has a sense of humor because I feel like some of the things I've been like, oh, I would never do that. Or, you know, like why would you be a single mom? You know, like that's not the right way to do it or whatever, but that's, you know, and that's what I grew up like very much like, you know, straight buttons, did all follow the rules, got good grades, like did everything right. And so for me to like have my life kind of take these weird twists and turns, that's very atypical. I feel like that's God being like, you know, I can use, you want to stay in this like box, but like, that's not how I operate. And also like God uses the most unlikely people. But he's so like kind and, the way he provides and love, I don't know. I just, even in like some of the hardest moments with the girls, like I could just like feel his like spirit, like this is where the tears come. You know, like I remember like some really frustrating nights with them and I'd be like doing the dishes or something. And I would just put worship music on and like, he would just like be there like, it's okay. Like I've got you and you're going to like get through this. And like, I don't know. It's hard because there's been times where I'm like, this isn't what I want to do. Like, this is so hard. But he's so faithful. And like, you know, it's just a season. Like, I think too, like sometimes we get stuck in like hard times thinking it's going to be like that forever, but it's not. And, so I think just like trusting that if God has brought you to a place, like he'll get you through and knowing that like his goodness and his faithfulness don't change. He doesn't change, but also he doesn't work in the way our human minds think. Like we are so limited in how we understand the world and who God is. And so if something doesn't make sense, like that's okay. It doesn't have to. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, that is all so powerful and so true. And I mean, for whatever people are walking through out there, like I hope that message sinks in, that God is unchanging. He is kind. He is good to show up, but he might be showing up in ways that are so far out of the box from our realm of thinking.
Yeah.
And yet he's working in it. That's so powerful. So as we kind of wrap up, what did we miss? What is a final thought or word of encouragement or story that you want to leave us with today?
I think to not minimizing like what God does. And I think it's like the culture today is really like hard for me. So I have teenagers and you know, I want them to like experience God the way I have, but also knowing that, you know, everyone has to kind of have that experience on their own. And so while I like can see how God has moved powerfully through our situation in our life, like it's still hard for my girls who've been through so much. And so I think too, I have to like release that and know that he's working in their life. And he obviously like brought them out of what they were in. And cares about them more than I do. And so like trusting, and I think sometimes it's easy to lose hope today when there's so much negativity and like war and all just this like craziness of an identity too. Like there's this huge attack on people's identity. And so I think kind of going back to what I said in the beginning, like staying rooted in who you are in Christ, but then also like believing that for other people to experience like God on their own. And so one of my other, when I was like preparing for talking and sharing the verse in Revelation that it's like, you know, we've won or there's victory because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I think it's important to share like what you've been through because you don't know how it will impact someone. And I, you know, I just love that verse because it's, you know, it's where we hold our, like, you know, Jesus is, proves who he is and that he's in charge of this world. And so, I don't know, I just kind of went on like all over the place like I normally do. But yeah. If you're like in a place of wanting someone in your life to know God like you do, trusting that he's got them and just continuing to be faithful to like share your story, because that is, you know, it's powerful. Like no one can take away what you've been through and how God's worked in your life. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity to kind of share my story and hope that someone's blessed by it and encouraged by it. So.
Yes. Wow. Well, I am blessed and encouraged by it. So I'm sure the other people out there are as well. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
That was such a great conversation with Audrey. I loved hearing her story and just the crazy twists and turns in the ways that God like led her down this path that she would never have expected. But I can imagine that now she also would never want it any other way. You know, when God puts things in our paths and it's hard and you have to sacrifice and you have to like show up every day and just rely on the Lord because you might not have it in your own strength to do what you need to do for that day, you know? It's definitely not easy, but I think it sounds like Audrey has experienced this richness in the Lord, this provision, and has experienced the faithfulness of God in such tangible ways that no one can ever take from her. It's this part of her story now that is so powerful. And just the way she is seeing God show up and just provide miracle after miracle and provision after provision is just so inspiring and so such a beautiful picture of what a life lived in complete surrender and complete faith to the Lord really looks like. At one point when she was sharing, she mentioned the verse, Exodus 14:14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And when she mentioned that, I just got so excited because if you listened to last week's episode, I talked all about the name of Jehovah Nissi, and I talked about Exodus 14:14. And if you didn't listen to that, I encourage you to go back and hear my message that God gave me about the Lord, our banner that we carry into victory. He's the light that we shine into the darkness. He helps us overcome the darkness in our lives. And that verse, you know, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still," made me think of another verse as well about just being still and waiting on God. So I want to close us out with Psalm 27:13-14. "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." So I'll leave you with that today. Just rest in him, wait in him, find your peace and comfort in him no matter what you're going through. He is fighting on your behalf. So I hope you have a wonderful week and we will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Collected Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you like what you've heard, we'd love it if you'd help spread the word. Check back here for new episodes dropping every other Thursday. You can follow along on social media at Collected Ministries.